Hello, everyone. This is Eric Pennington, and welcome to the Spirit of EQ podcast. We're glad that you've tuned in. Hey, a few things we wanted to tell you at the beginning of the show, and that's this podcast was created to be a tool to help you, primarily to discover and grow your EQ. Science and our own lived experiences confirm that the better we are at managing our emotions, the better we're going to be at making decisions, which leads to a better life. And that's something we all want. We're glad that you've taken out the time today to listen and hope that something that you hear will lead to a breakthrough. Hey, one last thing. We'd really appreciate a review on whichever platform you use to listen. And if you want to, leave some comments about what you heard today, as well as follow and subscribe. That way you won't miss a single episode as we continue this journey. And with that, the show begins. Jeff.
Hi, Eric.
Good to see you.
Nice seeing you again.
This
and
is
nice being here with our listeners, too.
Ah, yes, of course.
We can't forget them, Eric.
No, I know. Believe me, I don't forget them. Trust me, they are always front of mind. This is going to be a little different episode for us.
Yeah.
Because I know most of the time we've got some sense of where we're going to go and what we want to talk about. And we do today, too.
And sometimes we actually get to where we want to go and talk about what, but other times?
Not so much. So I would almost say this is an episode of what's on our mind currently.
Yeah.
And you brought this idea up to me. This has probably been a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we were almost kind of liking it. If I remember right, you were kind of calling it, it's just you and I over coffee, a coffee chat or
something. Yeah, just talking.
Yeah. So if it's okay with you, I'll go with one of mine and we can just kind of trade back and forth.
Sounds good.
So as you know, within the work of Spirit of EQ, there's a multitude of things that we do as far as what we provide for clients, you know. And some of those do have some resemblance to performance because there's presentations, you know, there's audiences that are in a workshop or they may be there for just a talk or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us being musicians, like our audience didn't know that
they
already.
They had no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say, they've never heard us talk about music before. And I've been thinking a lot lately, and I'm sure it's probably because of how much time has passed in my existence on the planet, that it's really, really important to know what you're good at. And I don't mean good, Jeff, as in, are you good enough? Did you pass or did you fail? But I'm talking about be good at it in the sense of your craft, what you do, and how you do it. And I almost would say the most important part of that is doing it with confidence and doing it with a healthy amount of allegiance. And here's where I'm going. We talked a little bit about this before we started recording is, you know, from a music standpoint, there's typically most musicians, right? There's those that sight read and those that play by ear.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty common, right?
My younger sister, I wish I had her talent. She's amazing on the keyboard. You can hand her a piece of music she's never seen and say, okay, this is in G, but we're going to do it in C flat today.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, okay. She sight reads and transposes as she goes along. I can't do that.
That's freakishly
I know.
Gifted.
But yeah, I get what you're saying.
Right. And this is not to elevate one or the other, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because we could probably cite a number of musicians that can read and we can cite great musicians that couldn't read music. I think about Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, Pino Palladino. Those folks, they don't read music. But Steve Lukather, and you can fill in the blank with a number of other musicians, guitar players, whatever, who can sight read very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of this is not so much that, but is, and everybody has a certain way about what they do.
Right.
And a certain structure in which they flourish.
Or preferred way.
That's a great way.
I prefer this because this is where I'm the most comfortable.
Right. And maybe even beyond most comfortable, it's where I know that I will be able to deliver the best of me and what my talent, my gifts are to the world.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I really want to clarify that, Jeff, because it's not about like, well, I only do this type of thing versus that type of thing. And if you need someone who can do this, call me, but don't call me if you've got something like that. It's much deeper in its form.
Mm-hmm.
And I would dare say, as I'm going to give you an example, just as this has been on my mind, I want to go back to the vigilance and the idea of allegiance to what you do and when is it you're at your best, right?
Okay.
So in situations in life, right, we're obviously in our endeavors, we're going to be called upon in order to do some of this type of work. Mm-hmm. Fill in the blank. It doesn't have to be music. It doesn't have to even be the work that we do as far as workshops, presentations, on and on. But at some point, we get called into doing things that don't fit our, you mentioned it, what we prefer.
Our wheelhouse.
Yeah, our wheelhouse, right? And I don't know about you, Jeff, and I would imagine the audience, there's probably those out there who you've taken a gig because you felt obligated, you needed the money, I mean, whatever the case mm-hmm. might have been, right? And I'm not here to judge that, to say if it's whatever. I'm just saying we've all been there, right? But what I think I've found, even as I look back over my history, that even in those times when I took the gig because I needed the money, I took the gig because I felt obligated, if I compare that to when I took a gig where it was a fit mm-hmm. for my gifting talents and how I felt afterwards, or quite frankly, how I felt during and afterwards, it's almost like night and day.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the gig or when I did the gig that was obligation, I have to do it for survival, whatever. And again, I just want to stress, it's not judgment. I'm not saying that if you ever took a gig.
Life happens.
So call it neutral, mm-hmm. right? But if I soberly assess between the two, and again, how I felt in doing it and how I felt afterwards, it's markedly different.
Mm-hmm.
So what do we do as we go along and we're building our craft and we're growing in it? Maybe in some ways we're perfecting it. And inevitably we get the call. Hey, I need you to do this gig. And we know it doesn't fit within the wheelhouse, as you alluded to. So what do we do?
You know, that's an interesting question. I think there's a myriad of ways to look at it, but when I've been in a situation like that, whether it's music or anything else, actually, yeah. I always strived to make sure that I added to what was going on.
Regardless. Yeah.
You know, if I was able to go in and I prefer unstructured,
yep.
for that's just who I am,
mm-hmm.
not give up on being able to do that. Mm-hmm. So the things that I would have, if we're talking music, the things I would have played in the unstructured thing, save those for some other time.
Yep.
But then what can I do to add to the structure? And, yeah. and it, you know, if we're talking playing bass, you know, maybe I spend a lot of time anchoring mm-hmm. instead of.
So you're showing a bit of flexibility inside of that particular reason. And quite frankly, I think that's really good because, again, life happens. Mm-hmm. And there are some times when there will be the proverbial gig that is not totally a fit. I think, Jeff, though I don't know if it ever becomes this, we hit some level of perfection with it. I think there's this examination of self-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned your wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
If we said that that's sort of the imagery, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the metaphor. Okay, do we know our wheelhouse? I mean, do we really know what's in it and the why behind it?
You just activated my metal or motorhead thinking. A wheelhouse is where the boat's controlled. You steer it. You tell the engine room what to do. You figure out where you're at and where you're going.
Yeah.
So use what you have in your wheelhouse.
Well, and I think it also speaks to, if you don't know what's in your wheelhouse, that seems like a recipe for chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And maybe disaster, and disaster in quotes. But I think, you know, and especially when I think about emotional intelligence, for example, there is this idea that it implies, especially when we think about the life pursuit of know yourself. It is a journey. And I've used this many times, probably on the podcast, certainly outside of it.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get to know Eric Pennington more and more and more and more. And the implication of that, Jeff, is where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Because the more that I know about Eric Pennington, the better I'm able to go, hey, wait a minute. This particular, again, gig, in quotes, is not a fit. It is. And yeah, then at that point you evaluate.
Mm-hmm.
Has life happened and I need to eat, right? Or has life happened and maybe the client or the situation, mm-hmm. they didn't tell me everything about it and I'm there.
I've committed.
There's really, you got to do what you just offered up, which is I'm going to contribute something to it the best of my ability, recognizing that it's not entirely or at all in my wheelhouse.
You're not going to get my best, but you're going to get my best.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, that's
a good way to put it. You're going to get the best I can do in this situation.
Yeah, yeah. And what I'm hoping, and it does require courage, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Jeff, if I said, hey, I'm really counting on you to come to do this thing, and I really want you there, and man, you're the right guy, and I know you're going to be great at it, and I just really hope you'll be able to. And so I'm applying pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask me, well, what is it? Give me the details, Eric. And it's like each one is like a check the box of it's not in my wheelhouse,
not in my wheelhouse.
It would require courage from you to say to me, hey, Eric, I don't think I'm the right person. I think you should probably be exhausting your list with other people because I don't want to disappoint you, but it just doesn't, it's not a fit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, would that be accurate?
Yeah, I think that's the way you should approach it. And, you know, we're the Spirit of EQ podcast, so you know, what EQ is in that? Recognizing how you're feeling.
Yeah, yeah, and Jeff, you just struck a chord there because I'm going, it's this idea about, once again, about the recognizing of patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens, this is a very, very important skill for those of you in the audience. I mean, it really is, and it applies so vividly to me. In that moment, let's just flip it and say, Jeff, you came to me.
Okay.
Right? And laid out all these different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, it's not in my wheelhouse. It's not in my wheelhouse. Not in my wheelhouse. Then I got to pivot to, okay, Eric, this is probably the part where you're going to feel a lot of pressure because you don't want to disappoint Jeff. You think the world of him and you're hoping you don't want to hurt his feelings. And this pressure is real, Eric. So you need to really take a step back. And mm-hmm. and you, hey, there's my consequential thinking tool.
Yes.
What's the cost and benefit of my decision? Because if I say yes to Jeff, okay, there's probably not going to be a lot of benefit. And the cost might be I'm going to get into something that, I mean, yeah, I may be able to give my best, but is it?
That situation where you're describing that you get yourself put into, okay, I go against recognizing patterns. I go against the consequential thinking, you know, the whole thing. And you do it, and it tanks, whatever it is.
Yep.
That it could very well be your last, ruin your chance to do the things that you're that are in your wheelhouse.
I am so glad you mentioned that, because time is not some infinite, endless reservoir that we can just keep drawing on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think you really hit it there, because the time that you spend in that thing that you knew going in was not a fit is time taken away from you participating, being involved in the things that are. And I hope our audience understands, Jeff, I'm not talking about this is what I want to do versus this is what I don't want to do. Mm-hmm. A lot of this has to do with alignment, right? Because one thing that hasn't been mentioned here as we're talking, what if the next person on Jeff's list is the person?
Right.
Maybe it wasn't his first choice. Maybe he thought I was the greatest choice to make, but Eric had the courage and he said, Jeff, not for me. I'm not your guy. And then you go, okay, Eric, I understand. I get it. No problem. And then your next call is just what you need.
Or what would, if in this case I asked you, you said, no, this isn't for me. But then you go, Jeff, call Brett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That strengthens.
Yeah. Yeah. That is taking it to another level. That, I mean, I think that's that. I mean, I don't want to belabor too much on the competencies, but then I think that's intrinsic motivation.
Mm-hmm.
That's, hey, I'm not the guy. It doesn't fit me, but hey, you know what? Have you thought about Brett? Right? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
I guess maybe the last thing I think about within this to kind of bring it home for me is I just really think we have to be vigilant about knowing what is in our wheelhouse and why. So that we position ourselves wherever it's possible, wherever we have been given the authority to be involved in the things that are a fit for that song, for that fill in the blank, whatever you would lump into the art, whatever that may look like, the art of accounting, the art of music, the art of fill in the blank, whatever it is. Because I think far too often, and some of it I understand, societal-wise, at least here in the United States, there is not a lot of emphasis on, you know, the part of our brains related to emotions and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Get that. So a lot of people don't have the tools. They don't, you know, if you've never worked with Spirit of EQ, you may not, if you're a podcast listener, you know we talk about competence and things like the competencies and things like that. But even within that, Jeff, I mean, I brought up, hey, this is where you could use, you know, the recognized patterns and then you can go to, well, Jeff, that's because as practitioner, right, as someone who has been a student of this, I apply it in my life. That's the tool I need in this situation. I'm only illustrating that because if we don't, and this is why I think it's so needed, this work around EQ. We got people doing stuff that shouldn't be doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got people playing in bands that should not be playing in bands, right? We've got people out there, endless promotion and getting tons of attention, and they don't belong there. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean they don't belong there because I don't like them and I think they're not any good at it. I'm thinking they probably would say, I know this is not in my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you just broke that down as far as what a wheelhouse is related to, because I just think the world's going to be better when we have more people playing within their wheelhouse.
You know, I want one more thing about the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
Okay. Wheelhouse on a ship.
Mm-hmm.
When a ship goes into a large harbor, they stop and they pick someone up called a pilot to get them through this difficult time, and that's what your EQ is.
It's a great one. It's a great one. So by connection, do you want to go into yours, and then I'll come back to, because I have something about EQ and AI that I wanted to to go into.
Oh, boy. There is a genre of social media that is causing me a lot of difficulty. It's the it started out relatively harmless. It's the, you know, the prank videos, like you jump out and scare somebody or something like
right.
that.
Right.
And to get, you know, eh, it's funny, ha ha. But now it's getting into the realm of just horrible behavior that, that people are doing to the point where it's causing damage.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say their names. I don't want to promote them, but if you're familiar with the Sentinel Islands, which is an island off of India where there's a tribe of people that do not want to be contacted.
Mm-hmm.
They do not want any contact with the outside world. A couple attempts have been made, but the Indian government has made it illegal with jail time to do it.
Hmm.
It's also dangerous for the person that's trying to contact because they'll kill you if they catch you. And then it's also extremely dangerous for them because they have not been exposed to all the diseases that most of our listeners are immune to that might, but they might be carrying it. So the wrong thing could wipe out this population. There was one of these social, whatever you want to call them, that decided he was going to contact them against everything. He took a little boat up, and luckily he did not make physical contact with them, but he wanted, in the name of, I forget what exactly he said, he left them a can of Diet Coke. Okay, to get views. Lots of views turn into money. You get the recognition, you know, to puff up your ego, and then you get the money. There's another person that is learning a very hard lesson in South Korea right now because he tried doing this in Japan. Japan just kicked him out, never come back. Tried to do it in Israel, which I don't know why you would want to do it in Israel because they don't have a sense of humor. Got kicked out. So he said, I'll go to Korea. And he did things. I'll just mention one that really, really got me angry with this. If you're familiar with the history of Korea and Japan in World War II, Japan would take women from, just take them, and they also would do it from China, and put them into a brothel against their will, and they called them comfort women. And that is still, to this day, what, 80 years later, a very, very raw wound in Korea. And they have a memorial to them, which is basically, it shows I think it's bronze or brass or something, but a chair, life size, and in the chair next to it is a statue of one of these comfort women. Well, this guy thought, well, I'd get lots of views and make a lot of money, and I'll twerk up against this statue.
Wow.
And that's just one of the things he's done.
So I want to touch on something within what you just said. Like, you know, the big thing that comes to our minds, maybe mm-hmm. collectively, why would he do that? And I'm not saying that I think that you know why he did it, but, I mean, we have guesses. I mean, you mm-hmm. alluded to views, money, mm-hmm. on and on. But boy, if he was here and if he could hold a conversation intelligently, I would ask him, so tell me, what was the motivation? Why would you do something
beyond the money and the views?
Yeah, after you take all that aside, what was the value in that for you? You know?
Yeah, that would be an interesting question because I'm afraid the answer would be, there's really no value to me because I just don't care.
Jeff, what is the SEQ Development Report?
I'm glad you asked me that, Eric. The SEQ Development Report is something that we here at Spirit of EQ have developed to blend the idea of emotional intelligence with a person's spiritual life. And we're not talking about religion. We're talking about how they connect with themselves, other people, and the world around them.
Why is it important?
I think it's important because it allows someone to see where they stand, to give them information about maybe parts of their life they may need to work on, parts of their life that they're really doing well and learn to leverage it. And it just gives a person a better way of getting through the world.
So how do you get this report?
Well, first, you need to contact us. Mm-hmm. Info@spiritofeq is just a great way to do it. Then you would take an assessment, 15, 20 minutes, done online. And then after that, the report requires a debrief to go through all the things in it because it's got a ton of information. And then if you want to further your journey, we can do coaching and things like that with you down the road. And that's basically it.
Cool. Thanks, Jeff. And we'll be back to the episode after this. And now back to the episode. So if you say that you don't care, Jeff, does that imply that you really have a very low level of understanding of who you are?
Yeah, I think that's it. That
I just wonder, you know, not putting words in your mouth or trying to say that that's the answer, but because it's interesting as you bring this up, right? You bring this topic up. I used to, when I would read news about, you know, like someone very young committing a crime mm-hmm. that was really, really horrible, right, in nature. You know, the classic, you know, the carjacking an elderly woman. It's, you know, a 75-year-old mm-hmm. woman, you know. And you go, why would someone do that? I mean, that's, and I used to go, they had to have known. And you know, you rationalize almost for them, like, why?
We're approaching it from our.
And I'm glad that you said that. Because I think we've come to a place, Jeff, where there's legitimately, I wouldn't say a generation of people, because that's a very broad brush. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a number of people who are in the camp that you just described. I really don't care.
I've tried wrapping my mind around this yeah. as many different ways as you can think of, and I can't come up with anybody that I know would do something like this.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm with you on that, and I guess I wonder maybe if social media, say the dark side of social mm-hmm. media, and maybe it's even seeped over into the light. Or the good side of social mm-hmm. media, has there been this poison pill that's kind of like starting to spread, right? And here's where I'm going with that. On a much lighter note, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of, quote, hilarious reels and videos.
Yeah,
right.
You can go down a hole and you can spend right. an hour and it's right. it's fun.
Okay. And as you and I both know, I would say, Jeff, I don't want to speak for
okay.
you.
Okay.
My opinion, there are a number of people who are making these videos who are offering them to the world because they think this is really funny. Mm-hmm. This is really funny. You're going to, and you watch it and you go, you're maybe mildly funny, but for the most part, you're just clowning. I mean, it's like you're clowning for the video in order to, and I get it. Right? You could say, but look how many views and look how many followers. Well, I think sometimes you got to be careful with just the sheer mass number of things because it might not tell the entire story.
I've had people disagree with me, but I think a very good comedian, despite they're usually disparaging of themselves, a good, funny comedian has to have intelligence.
And I would throw out, Jeff, and this relates to intelligence, mm-hmm. timing.
Timing.
I have, I don't want to take you down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
But I have had people who normally are not very humorous, right? Mm-hmm. And you can be sitting there with them over dinner or something, and, you know, somebody's, like I'll bring up, well, did you know that Jeff fell off his motorbike today? And they'll go, well, that serves him right because he always is falling. Okay. I'm not saying that's funny.
Yeah.
That's not funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a comedian.
Uh-huh.
But my point is somebody cannot be the funniest person, but if they know the timing of when to deliver a comment or a statement,
mm-hmm.
it can be very funny.
Or the timing of an act, whatever it is.
I'm going to give you something.
And, okay.
And this is maybe funny only to me.
Okay.
All right. So, we had some a contractor out to do some work on the house related to our air conditioning, heating and cooling, that kind of thing, right? Well, there's this area to get to it that requires it's not a very large access point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, no offense to the contractor, he was probably a little bigger than which the access point would provide, right? And he basically went to my wife and says, "We're going to have someone else come out because I can't get to it. I can't get through that particular."
Yeah.
And then my wife goes, kind of makes you feel like Winnie the Pooh, huh? and my wife, certainly she's not a stand up by any sense, but in that moment, after that comment, she understood timing, boom, drop it. I think, Jeff, a lot of those videos, I'm gonna say, I got to be careful in saying a lot. The ones that I have seen,
mm-hmm.
the timing is lacking in the supposed comedic video.
You
said intelligence, and I went down that road.
But no, but yeah, there's some intelligence in that because Twenty years ago, it was all shock comics,
right?
Which is easy humor if you're talking to somebody that thinks that's funny, which I don't.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like, okay, we're kind of going into my other topic. We might as well just explore that. But this
sure.
one,
yeah,
I look at comedians like, have you listened to Tig Notaro?
No,
she's hilarious because she tells stories that are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Norm MacDonald.
Oh, yeah. Remember.
Timing.
Yeah.
Deadpan timing.
Yeah.
Stephen Wright.
Mm-hmm.
These people, they're, it was funny and they weren't hurting anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You go back and look at Jay Leno's monologues when he was hosting the night show or Saturday Night Live 25 years ago.
Yeah.
They could actually make fun of someone, but it was done in a way that wasn't hateful.
And I almost think it wasn't personal.
No. A lot of this stuff that you a lot of comedians do it, and a lot of this stuff that you see on social media is personal.
Well, and I go back to your example of the gentleman in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
To do that kind of thing in that subject matter, mm-hmm. in that real world, it happened, it was a big deal, that is personal because there could have been someone out there, I'm sure there were, people who said, hey, my grandmother, and someone else could say, well, yeah, and my sister and my fill in the blank, that's personal. And, you know, we as we're a show on EQ, a tremendous lack of self-awareness. And if somebody said to me, hey, but that guy didn't know when he was twerking on that statue what it was all about. He just saw a statue and decided to do it. I wouldn't buy that.
Even if you don't, a normal person.
Well-adjusted person?
A well-adjusted person would, okay, why is this here? What does this mean?
Before you make the decision.
Yeah. Well, and you were talking about consequential thinking. He did suffer consequences from that.
Mm-hmm.
One was very soon because a South Korean version of what we would call a seal ran across him, and it didn't go well.
The seal got
fined like $7,000, and a bunch of people raised the money for him.
Well, that says a lot.
Plus, now he's facing up to 31 years in prison for what he's been doing.
Yow.
Because Korea is South Korea.
It's a big deal.
South Korea, just all the other things, there's a dozen other things that he's done. South Korea is, no, we're not just going to make him go away.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be an example. And unfortunately for him,
yeah.
He's the one.
Yeah.
It's just, we're losing our sense of humor about what is actually funny.
Yeah. Do you believe that there's a common, like a level of like what is true, meaning what is true comedy and what is true humor?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm saying the argument might be out there, well, Jeff, just because it's not funny to you doesn't mean it's not funny to me. You know, so.
Right. Yeah, I get that. It's just, I don't know. It's hard.
Well, Jeff, I'm interrupting you.
Go ahead.
Because I think about, I want to say it might have been Dave Chappelle. I may have this wrong.
Okay.
But it was a well-established, pretty notable mm-hmm. comedian who said that the dividing line is personal versus non-personal.
Mm-hmm.
If I say I'm a stand-up, and for those in the audience, you're not watching our video, but you may remember Jeff has a beard, right? So if I make a general joke about beards, that's not personal.
Well,
you happen to have a beard.
But I don't care.
Not, right? And the same would be, I share with you, I wear glasses. If someone makes a joke about glasses, people who wear glasses, I think that passes. But if somebody said, hey, I know this guy named Eric, and, you know, Eric wears glasses. He doesn't realize that, you know, back in the day, well, he's talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's personal. And I think maybe, and I know that I'm not the arbiter, right? I'm not going to decide what is funny and what is not, blah, 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 blah. But I think the best humor, the people who really are funny,
mm-hmm.
understand that there is that dividing line. That's just my take on it.
That's, I mentioned this, Tig Notaro.
Yeah.
She tells stories, and she's always, I don't want to say the butt of the joke, but she's relating things that have happened that she has enough self-awareness to go, yeah, that was funny. I mean, I was the idiot in this,
yeah.
But that was really funny, and I'm willing to share it with you. Yeah. Jim Brewer is the same way, the stories he tells, you know.
And I wonder, Jeff, what if, and maybe I'm being, this is, I've entered into the land of naive and Pollyannish, right? Mm-hmm. But what if that restraint was held by the vast majority of those who are dispensing comedy, whether they be famous or not? I sometimes think we might sort of rise our level of sort of what is considered expectation
mm-hmm.
because it was just like a common, you know, I think about it from the perspective of like professional sports. You know, you can go to basketball, football, whatever you like. If you're in the professional realm, there's a certain level of professionalism that's expected. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, if you are a professional, you will.
I think one of the things that we're missing out is, I just had it in my head, people are not, self-aware is not the right way to say it. People take themselves too seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you were talking about things that just come up unexpected. In the minor leagues this year, baseball,
mm-hmm.
they tried this new thing, which is, I forget what they call it, but it's electronically records, you know, tells you if it's a ball or strike.
Right.
And you can do a replay and everything with that. If the umpire still makes the call, but you can do a replay if you think it's not. Mm-hmm. And these are major league umpires with major league players, but they're in spring training, and they were trying it out. And this, they challenged a ball or strike, I forget which one. And so they went to the review, and the umpire, they now have microphones so you can hear them, and they mm-hmm. go, and surprisingly, the umpire was correct. And it broke the stadium up. The mm-hmm. players were doubled over laughing. He was self-aware enough. I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, you talk about, you know, people that don't take themselves too seriously are the ones that I think are the funniest.
Yeah.
The most relatable, that that understand I am a human being. And
well, Jeff, and I go back to, I again, my opinion, of course, right? I go back to that. Was it personal or was it more global in nature, if I can turn it that way?
Yeah.
Because to me, I mean, I got all kinds of things that could put me in a category of an opportunity for practical humor, right? I mean, where you could find a lot of one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, I don't take myself so seriously that if somebody makes a joke about glasses, I'm going to like, oh, it's end of the world. How could you say that, right?
Right.
If I took myself overly serious, I'm sure anything that you would say that I might construe as being directed at me, I'm going to be upset about it, which would, and there's nothing wrong with someone who maybe makes the comment to apologize for it because it offended me or made me feel whatever, but there probably is also an implication of maybe I should do some self-searching. Am I taking myself too seriously that every single thing is off limits? And if you cross that line, I'm not going to be happy. I'm going to be upset or whatever.
Yeah. Just, we just need to be aware.
Yeah.
We need to be aware of who we are. We need to be aware of the strengths we have, the skills we have. Be aware of things that we maybe want to improve, but understand that that's not someone else's worth of myself.
Yeah, that's determined by you, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the determiner. Yeah.
This fellow we were talking about in South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has much self-worth just from hearing him talk and things.
Yeah. And who knows, right?
But
maybe, I know it's a pretty big situation consequence-wise. Maybe it'll be his opportunity to make a turn.
I did hear him interviewed, and he is starting to understand the consequences.
The magnitude.
And the magnitude of it, and realizing this was a mistake. I shouldn't have done this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hopefully that will lead to something that will be good for him. So go ahead.
We're talking humor.
Yeah.
With what we were talking about with your thing about music and everything, I got a joke.
All right, audience. 5 stars if this is a funny joke, okay, on reviews.
So there was a couple guitar players talking, and they were talking about the bass player. And one guitar player says to the other one, you know that, you know, he reads music. And the other guitar player goes, yeah, but he's still pretty good.
There you go. For those of us out there who are play by ear, which is interesting, Jeff, because I did both. And for me, it was one was limiting and one was freeing, right? So anyway, just minor side.
I've been lucky. The people that I played with, most, it sounds strange, but a lot of my playing has been in prison, and it's with a different music leader, the guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
And they've all just, here's the chords and do whatever you want.
Yeah.
And some of them were more country, some of them were more rock and roll. So am I Donnie or Marie today?
Yeah. There you go.
Okay, that was for anybody over 60.
I was going to say, it's Donnie Osmond if you want to do a little bit
rock.
Search.
I'm a little bit country. And
he's a little bit of rock and roll.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, audiophiles will forgive you. So Jeff, last one I have on my mind is EQ and AI. And this is a topic that at least the AI side of it is, you know, rampant, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's everywhere. It's probably, I would imagine, one of the most searched terms out there. And my thinking, of course, and opinion, AI seems to be disrupting most on the analytical, intellectual side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, it's sort of disrupting where the answers are found and how fast they can be obtained,
mm-hmm.
right? So it used to be said about what made a Google search so powerful was that they have so many, like, loads and loads of information that they can scan and get to. And if you think about it, just at a global level, right? If everything that's ever been done, everything that's been created as from a man-made perspective, mm-hmm. and maybe even outside of man-made, if it's accessible and if you can get to the information, and that can be everything from how does an engine in a Kawasaki 575 motorbike, mm-hmm. not that I don't know if that's exactly a motorbike, but I'm using the example.
Close.
All right. How does that motor work? Why is it that it requires gasoline versus fill in the blank?
Mm-hmm.
You can find the answer.
Right.
And it's powerful. And I think AI is now taking it to another level of where it's not only that you just get the raw information, but you can sort of, in some ways, it can be customized to what it is you're doing, mm-hmm. why it is you're doing it, meaning, and again, I'm just coming at it from my angle, Jeff, so I want to make sure that that's noted here. If I want to know why that Kawasaki fill in the blank, I can put into an AI chatbot that, and the reason why I want to know is because I'm debating on whether or not I want a Honda versus a Kawasaki,
right.
because I am the type of motorbike motorhead who drives or rides in certain environments,
mm-hmm.
and I typically like to drive or I like to ride in rain. I don't want it to be sunny. These AI chatbots, more and more and more, they're able to understand. So when they give you the information, they're giving you information that's rather customized.
Yeah, and they're, I'm going to go back to my high school days. Went to a small school. There's 100 kids in my graduating class, but I was blessed with exceptional teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And the best teacher, and I probably mentioned him before, was small school, so I had the same science teacher for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And 1 year, two classes in a row. Mr. Wilburn, he was more in concerned with how we got to an answer
mm-hmm.
than necessarily the answer.
Yes, and I'm glad that you mentioned this, Jeff. I'm really glad because some out there might be wondering, so what does this have to do with EQ, Eric? Great, you know a little bit about AI or a little bit about mm-hmm. AI chatbots. With this disruption, what is going to be needed most in the future? In my opinion, it's just what you said.
We're going to need people that have the drive to find out.
And not only that, Jeff.
But not the drive to find out how.
Yes. Thank
okay.
you.
That's yeah. a better way to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, because that does not come from AI. That comes from a different area of your brain, a different area of your, what we used to say, soul. So I could almost imagine, Jeff, there's a chat bot that responds, I don't know what you want me to do with this here, because you're not tracking. What do you want me to do for you? Right.
Right.
You gotta give me more information uh-huh. here, right? And I'm saying this to say that I am of the mind that as AI continues and probably will at a pretty fast clip
mm-hmm.
disrupt the knowledge base, if you will. What will be needed? And I believe that the spiritual and emotional part of us, not only that, is going to be vitally important because, you know, for the longest period of time, and I think in the modern Western world, we've gotten really, really far because of our intellect,
mm-hmm.
the discoveries made, the innovations. And most of those came from the knowledge that we were able to obtain, whether it was through number of years of college.
I don't even think we need to say Western world. You go back to how many things came from China that we use every day.
Right. And my point within this—
But, you know, it's all connected now.
Yeah. That process was from a human mm-hmm. who was, okay— Do we have the information? Obtain the information. You and I sit down. We build a product. We work on it. We get others to come in. And I'm not saying this to say that that's never going to happen again. That's going to go away. My point within that is it's less and less of that.
Right. There's a difference between curiosity to get an answer or just wanting the answer.
Great point. And I think that connects back into discovery of how, okay? Mm-hmm. And where I'm going with this, Jeff, is that I think there's going to be a danger for those who get left behind. So here's my sort of final analogy around this, right? So let's look at muscle, the human muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you, for the years and years and years, decided, I really need to have strong arms, biceps, triceps, all of them need to be strong because I'm going to be lifting things with my arms. I need them to be as strong as possible. So you go to the gym and you're always working on your arms. You're always working on mm-hmm. your arms. But you don't pay much attention to your legs. You're like, yeah, but I really need strong arms. So that continual process of looking only focused in on your arms will leave a blind side and a deficiency when someone says, knock, knock, your arms are no longer needed because we now have this solution that takes care of all that hefty lifting. So you're not going to be doing heavy lifting. What we really need is those that have these legs because this is more of a walking, running situation now. Well, where will you be?
Mm-hmm.
You'll be deficient because that muscle that was in your legs has now gone to atrophy. Now, it doesn't mean it's impossible for you to, you know, do something to start working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But Jeff, you and I both know it's really, really hard while the game is being played to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has been said in professional sports, you know, a baseball team, a football team, a basketball team, their style of playing is what their style of playing is.
Right.
You know, currently right now, I'm not sure where it will be when we drop this episode, but the NBA playoffs, all right? And my son loves the Boston Celtics. They're a great example. And the Boston Celtics are that's what they do. Three-pointers. I mean, they're so heavily on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if those shots aren't dropping, that's a problem.
Or the other team goes, they're not going to get those.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And guess what? Some of the calls were, why don't they just start doing this? This particular player should start going inside. Forget the three-pointer. Get in there. And I love this commentator basically said, you're asking them to change how they play in the middle of an NBA playoff series.
He hasn't done it all year.
Right. There's opportunity for us today to begin to evaluate, and each person needs to do their homework to determine the role of AI and the mm-hmm. role of the spiritual and the emotional. And as you know, Jeff, I'm not talking about spiritual as in religion.
Right.
All right. So it's a call for us. Today's a good day to start. Why don't you build that muscle on the emotional side and the spiritual side? Because I really believe we're heading to a place where it will be those people who have strong muscle in those areas that will be the ones that will be curious. They will focus on the how. They'll be able to have more think on the feet, more reflective, more understanding mm-hmm. of nuance than for those that have been stuck building muscle in something that AI is going to render extinct.
You mentioned the spiritual aspect with our model of spiritual emotional intelligence. It's about connection. And if I need to get an answer to something, am I going to be more connected to the AI answer, or am I going to be connected to that answer I put time and sweat in to come to an answer?
Yeah. And Jeff, I can tell you in the work that we do, I see many, many leaders from all walks of life who've really not spent a lot of time on the emotional, spiritual side, and it's costing them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm finding it interesting with the number of years I've been in this world of EQ that how it's progressed. And there's a correlation, I believe, with the advancement in technology and exposing that lack of what we've been talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I had fun today.
Yeah. I hope the people listening did too.
I think we're going to do it again anyway. And audience, if you don't like this, you know how to write a review. We hope that you did like it. And we look forward to the next time that we're together. Take care.
Hi, everyone. This is Eric Pennington with the Spirit of EQ. I'm not introducing a new episode today. I'm here to tell you some things that might help you. Jeff, you're with me as always. So
yes.
How do people get in touch with us?
Well, the best way is just send us an email at info@spiritofeq.com.
That's awesome. Jeff, I was also thinking about reviews, and I'm notoriously bad at asking for them. So reviews on all of the platforms, wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes.
You think that'd be good?
I think that would be great because, one, that will help us learn how to make better ones. And it's always good for us
to hear. So we're not the perfect podcast host.
We're close.
Okay. All right. But
not,
still,
not totally.
We want
perfect.
Your feedback. We want your feedback.
But it also might let us know a new subject. Hey, we need to dig deeper into that.
Yeah.
So let us know what you think.
Cool. We really appreciate that. As always, too, there is social media, LinkedIn, Facebook, and we also have a YouTube channel. Those also have mechanisms or options for you to be able to leave a comment, a like, or those kind of things. Just want to make sure that you know how to get in touch with us. Right, Jeff?
Right. We appreciate you all.
Thank you. Once again, we really appreciate you tuning in today. One of the things that Jeff and I want to bring to your attention as well is that when we created this podcast, it was not intended to take the place of a clinician. In other words, if you find yourself in a place where there's something deeper going on or something that you cannot solve on your own, we do recommend that you reach out to a clinician of some sort. This podcast is purely opinion-based, and it is rooted in the desire to help you along your path in whatever way we can. However, it is never going to replace, nor should it ever be looked at as a replacement for clinical help in any way. Thanks again for tuning in.